Sunny skies at 90 degrees. Welcome to this Thursday edition of Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott. And if you've been listening all week, you know that, well, this is Tech Week here on the program. $9.5 billion. That's the amount of money that then Georgia Governor Nathan Deal said was the economic impact that came from the film and television productions in the fiscal year 2017. And last year, 455 productions were filmed in the state. But guess what? Georgia's entertainment industry isn't just TV and movies. It's esports and e-gaming. This has taken off. We open up the Closer Look vault and we go back a few years because Fong Lee stopped by our studios a few years ago to teach me and my colleague Dennis O'Hara a thing or two about League of Legends.
That really big guy, That's not Dennis, that's somebody else.
That's called a super minion.
How does he get a super minion and I don't have a super minion?
You had super minions.
And they were spawning now, too.
So
your minions were fighting while you guys were away and Dennis just won.
The whole thing?
Yes.
Yeah, we're not going to listen to the rest of it. Now, since that segment aired, Atlanta's e-gaming sphere has only grown, and the technology used to produce all of this is even more advanced. And two people who know all about this, and they're way more into this than I am, but we're going to learn more. We have John Adcox, he's CEO of Grammary Media, and we have Michael Macanoja, who's the Chief Executive Officer of Soar Gaming. Hope I got all that right. Thank you both for coming and taking the time.
Thanks for having us.
Esports, e-gaming, people say, how did this become such a big thing? Michael, I'll start with you.
Yeah, of course.
When did all this explode? I'm so old. See, Donkey Kong and Pac-Man, that was it for me.
Yeah, those were the retro games that I grew up with and a lot of people are familiar with. But in the last decade or so, esports just kind of went on an uphill spike and has just been growing ever since. And it wasn't really necessarily revolutionized to the media up until a few years ago when it started becoming more and more widespread and parents were dealing with their kids wanting to get into it because they saw, you know, YouTubers and professional gamers playing online and they were fascinated by it and they wanted to, you know, pursue that same career that the YouTubers and pro gamers are doing.
But the games, and John, I'll bring you into this, the games themselves have advanced. It's like the technology used in advancing these games, that's a big part of this too, the popularity of it, right? Mm-hmm.
I think so. We're actually not in the game space specifically.
Sure.
We're in the cross-media entertainment business. We have a model to sort of disrupt the Hollywood studio model, sort of the next generation book publisher, game developer, and movie studio of the future. But when we use the technology we're using to shooting a film is different than what Hollywood generally uses. And because of that, we're able to create and capture assets for other media types at the same time we're making a film, including games.
So you all are like a virtual entertainment studio? Lab?
That's it. We call ourselves the Story Incubator. The idea comes from the good old Silicon Valley Business Accelerator model. We ourselves went through Flashpoint here in Atlanta at Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
And you've probably heard the stat before. Only about 10% of all startups succeed. But more than 80% of the ones that go through the accredited accelerator succeed. It's a rigorous process for reliable innovation. Stories are also innovated. Mm-hmm. They too can be innovated reliably.
Do you have competition? Are there a lot of businesses modeled like yours? I kind of feel like it's not.
No, I think we are in a unique space. If you look at the studios now, everybody except for Disney is kind of in trouble because they've forgotten how to create franchises, the original content that sort of has the DNA to become a blockbuster cross-media franchise. Now, Disney's got dozens of them because they've gone out and acquired them.
Mm-hmm.
We're a pipeline for new franchises, original content that has that DNA to become a tentpole franchise film, books, games, and more. And we do all this in concert as part of the SANG process.
And Michael, your organization, SOAR, I understand this is one of the world's largest esports organizations. Is that world? That's a...
We would like to think that we're an up-and-coming esports organization. Soar Gaming has been around for about 8 years now, and we've been working in the industry closely with a lot of sponsors and big competitors and influencers on the YouTube side of things. And we're planning on just trying to make waves in the space and become the world's biggest. That is the plan. But we are considered a tier one or tier two organization because we specialize in esports and creating content online on YouTube, on Twitch, and a bunch of other social
and
media
Twitch
platforms.
Twitch is where folks watch folks play these esports.
Yes, so Twitch is essentially one person sitting down in front of a camera and playing a video game and then having potentially thousands of people just watch you sit there live.
Thousands of people watching someone else or a team or a competition play these esports.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And where does Atlanta fit in that landscape? Are we one of the top cities for this?
Atlanta is one of the bigger cities for it, definitely. I came down here with SOAR a few years ago because it's cheaper, for one, and you know there's a lot of bigger homes in Georgia, so we could house a lot of gamers and creators to sit there and make content together.
John, what do you think? We know how Atlanta got here in terms of film and TV production, and we can talk about, you know, incentives and all that, but in this whole entertainment, this e-gaming, e-sports, all even what you all do, Atlanta, did this follow the film and TV production? Is that how it happened?
I'm not sure. I think the boom in esports, and I could be wrong, this is a personal theory, and I have no data to back this up whatsoever, but I think the reason you're seeing esports rising so dramatically while other sports are sort of in decline is because people like to watch what they grew up playing. Mm-hmm. And when I was young, you know, people went to the vacant lot and played baseball and football. And now there really aren't any vacant lots anymore. Mm-hmm. So people are inside playing games. And the sports they sort of relate to and resonate with are esports. I don't know what is specific Atlanta, except that there's a great R&D credit here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great cost of business. It's a great place to do business. And in our case, there's incredible infrastructure and also an incredible crew-based talent base that is really hard to find anywhere else in the world that's not Bollywood or Hollywood.
How, as it relates to what you all are doing, how has technology so far advanced this industry then? Are there still more to come that we haven't even seen yet? I think often people think about virtual reality, and we know what that is, and think, oh, that's it, sky's the limit, maybe.
Could be. We're actually looking a little bit further upstream than that. While we were at Georgia Tech, we looked at franchises that were popular for more than 7 years and tried to find things they had in common that the misses and the failures maybe didn't have. And from that, we came with about a 47, 50-point checklist. So we look for unpublished book manuscripts that meet all 47 of those criteria, hoping to find the next Harry Potter, Hunger Games, or Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the technology comes in. Once we find them, we run them through a year-long incubation process. At the end of that process, we release them both as a regular hardcover book, but also what we call eBook 2.0. Now, these are layered with interactivity. They're sold through the app stores for your phone or tablet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're designed to be a more magical reading experience that makes the reader sort of fall in and be a part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
That includes elements of gaming, of course. It includes pictures that come to life and start moving, forums, all kinds of things. And we've created sort of a blockchain feedback economy that happens within that experience. So while you're reading the book and you find a passage that you really want to share with your friends, you can send it by email or social media, what have you. And we reward you with a blockchain token for that. And when you do something that gives us meaningful data about whether this is a franchise that needs to go forward into film, we also give you a blockchain token. And these are sort of the coin of the realm in our own virtual space. They power microtransactions in gaming, future content access.
You're keeping people
even
connected and keeping them, giving them a reason to stay connected and stay involved. Because people want to be a part of something.
Exactly. Communities form around stories. We talked to so many people who said they had met their best friends through love of a shared story. I mean, you know about Dragon Con coming up here in Atlanta.
I love Dragon Con.
Comic Con. We went to the Harry Potter pub crawl. Got to do your research, right?
And oh, really? The Harry Potter
pub crawl? Now, these are
literally
thousands of mainstream kids that paid money to go to bars that are open just because they feel that they're the Harry Potter generation. It's something that connects them. And I think there's something more to it also, because there's something about their identity as a generation
mm-hmm.
that comes from the stories they love.
Let me ask Michael that, because your generation, you're a little bit younger than me, your generation being connected, and you heard what John just said, so you you agree with all that, with this particular generation and the esports, there's this community. It's a community of people.
Right, and friendships are formed online within these communities. People go online, and a lot of people will assume that since you're not going out and playing with your friends out in the real world, that you can't essentially do the same thing online. But the reality is that you can. You're playing with all the friends that you meet around the world, and ends up years later that you might end up meeting up with them. And that's exactly what I did. I used to play with kids all around the world growing up. And back in 2016, I met with my best friends that I kept over the years at some public gaming events. And turns out like they're my now best friends, and they have been for the past few years.
Well, there's another reality to this as well. That's very lucrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of money in the space because it's growing incredibly fast. And a lot of advertisers and sponsors are wanting to get in. And what we're dealing with right now is an influx of non-endemic brands that don't really know much about gaming, but they're all trying to get in. Them, investors, and everyone, because right now gaming is just going up and up and up.
Do you worry about that? Could it change? Could it be so much of an influx that then maybe it gets just too much and people are like, you know what, I'm going to come out of this community and just play by myself because there's so much going on.
There's definitely some downsides to it, because with that happening, there's also a lot of kids wanting to all get into it too, and it becomes a little more difficult. It's more competitive at that point.
But high schools and colleges are looking at adding esports as part of its athletic program.
Yeah, and there's scholarship programs that they've introduced and so much
more. So my nephew can get a scholarship for Fortnite or something like that, whatever it's called?
At some colleges, they're already offering it.
Let me send him a text right
there. Georgia State and Atlanta.
They'll give a scholarship for an esports?
They have an esports program.
All right, give them a call. As we wrap up, where do you want to see Sore Gaming go in the future? You're the CEO.
So I just want to see Sore Gaming continue to grow as a brand in gaming and you know, have a recognizable impact on where gaming is led in the next few years. I want to be able to be a positive influence among the younger kids getting into gaming and you know, just be able to share a really positive story.
You want to do that here in Atlanta?
I would love to.
John, what about you? You right now, you're kind of y'all are the big dog, so to speak. Companies might come up yet and try to run you off the path.
Well, our plan is to become a big dog. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're the type of company, it'd be easier to work with us than stomp us out.
Wow. John and Mike, thank you so much for coming on and being a part of Tech Week. I really appreciate it. Best of luck to you with your companies.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're going to teach me how to do some night gaming. That's it for this edition of Closer Look, which is produced by Candace Wheeler and Grace Walker and Joy Barge. Our engineer is Shelley Canavy. As always, we thank our digital services crew. They're part of the whole tech space. If you missed any of today's program, it's online at wabe.org/closerlook. And of course, Closer Look weeknights at 9 p.m. Stay tuned to 90.1 WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. For Tech Week, we got one more day. I'm Rose Scott.